From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. That's Psalm 113, verse 3. And the command to praise God is a common one throughout the Bible, the Old and New Testaments. Approximately 250 times in the Bible, we read commands, declarative statements regarding praising the Lord. The word hallelujah is a one-word imperative made of three parts. It's actually three words stuck together. Halal, praise, lu, you, in the plural, so you all, and then Yah, which is short for Yahweh, the Lord. So praise you all, the Lord. Hallelujah. And why do we praise? Psalm 92 says that it is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. Praise is a good thing. That means it is pleasant, it's valuable, it's morally excellent. Psalm 147, verse 1 tells us that praise is beautiful, it's agreeable. Author C.S. Lewis, in his book Reflections on the Psalms, which if you're looking for some heavier reading, this is a fantastic book that you should check out, C.S. Lewis, Reflections on the Psalms. He writes that praise completes the enjoyment. You experience something amazing, something beautiful, something mysterious, something awe-inspiring. You look around and you're alone. You want desperately to react to the experience, to say, that is incredible, that is beautiful. We are testifiers. You are a testifier. You are detectives of the divine. You're tellers of good news. We all are. Praising God is our natural response to the joy that He gives us. It completes the enjoyment. Without it, the experience isn't finished. It doesn't feel full. When we consider the reasons why we praise, we find a list in the Psalms, a list of His attributes. You can praise God for who He is, that He is great, that He is full of glory, that He is good, merciful, and faithful. And those are just a few. If you read Psalms, you find tons of amazing words, descriptors, talking about all that God is, who He is. And then as well, you find a list of his actions, of the wonderful things that He does that deserves our praise, that He is the one who saves us, that He pardons sin, that He gives us our daily food. So everything from this eternal sense that things are okay, that we have been made right, to the simple daily needs that we have. God gives it all to us. And so we can praise Him for His actions, for what He does. Psalm 148, verses 1 to 10, tells us that all of creation is commanded to praise God. When Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, great crowds gathered and offered Him their praises. The Pharisees wanted Him to rebuke the people, but Jesus said, "I tell you, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." And though there are many who choose not to praise God right now, there is coming a day in which every knee will bow and every tongue confess the praise of God. Philippians 2. Praise is a vital part of a life that is surrendered to God. It's a natural outflow of a full heart. We praise God because we believe that as the Creator, the Sustainer, the Restorer, He is responsible for all that is right and good in our existence. We praise because God is good, creation is good, and we experience that goodness every day. New mercies every morning. We praise most readily from a position of trust in the solidness of things. So this is when things are as they should be. We praise most readily, most easily, when we're there. When all is as it should be, and God is the one who has made it so. Psalm 145 is a great example of praise for the secure stability of life. It's about Israel's joyous and grateful confidence in their Creator. What is true from beginning to end is that Yahweh securely governs, and that can be counted on. This psalm in the original Hebrew is actually an acrostic. So every stanza in the psalm is a letter of the Hebrew alphabet from Alpha to Omega. So the poetic meaning here is that we praise God for a world that is well arranged, that is oriented from A to Z, from beginning to end. This is the praise of the mountaintop. This is when the job acceptance comes through, when the house gets sold over asking, when the doctor comes in with the right news for you, or when you find that $20 on the ground after being generous yourself. The other day, I found $5 on the ground, and my son would not stop talking about it. That's why I put that in there. He was so excited. He's like, that is free money. It just appeared. And so we praise God that that money appeared, whatever the denomination. As I read verses of this psalm, listen for the statements of trust that God is in control. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. So praise in this context orients us in a world that is ordered, controlled, and sustained by a gloriously good God. And then our natural outlet for joy, for the thankfulness, for the appreciation and awe that we feel is praise. If we are silent, the rocks will cry out. Our world is a world of praise, joy, rejoicing, and when we join in, we participate in one of our creative intents. The way God made us. It just feels right. It completes our enjoyment. And we've been studying Psalms of disorientation in August. Psalms that express what happens when the natural order stops working for us. Praise when we just don't feel like it. And this series has taught us how the psalmist, the writers of these psalms encourage us to praise in the midst of these experiences. Not just when they're finished, but in the midst of the experiences. To lift our voices of lament and praise when our sorrow and grief, when our fears and anxieties, when our anger at injustice has swallowed up our joy. The author of Hebrews calls this our sacrifice of praise. So he's linking two words together. He says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that openly profess his name. So these two words, sacrifice and praise, seem to not be connected. We think of sacrifice as offering something at a great cost to ourselves. But then when we use the word praise, it seems like something that's just joyfully bubbling naturally from a grateful heart. They seem disconnected. And yet here, they're held together. They're intertwined. And these are the times that God didn't come through the way that we hoped he had or he would. When the medical test comes back positive, when the spouse wants out of the relationship, when a child has gone off track, when your lender stops extending grace and calls in that loan. God, in these times of disorientation, seems far away, and praise is not bubbling anymore. There are no bubbles. We can't see his goodness. And circumstances whisper malevolently that perhaps he has forgotten you. To praise God in those times requires personal sacrifice. It takes an act of the will to lay our whole selves before a God that we actually don't understand. When we bring a sacrifice of praise, we choose to believe that even though life is not going as we think it should, God is still good and can be trusted. When we choose to praise God in spite of the storms, he is honored, and our faith actually goes deeper. it reaches to another level. As Job says, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. That is deep. That is a depth of faith. Paul and Silas in Acts 16, after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. The story gets pretty interesting after that, but I'm going to stop right there. Our praise of God isn't to be based on how we think he's doing today. Praise isn't God's reward for good behavior. It's not our positive reinforcement. Real praise continues regardless of circumstances because he is always worthy of it. Praise flows continually from a worshiping heart in good times and bad. The third movement that we've been studying of life in the Psalms that encourage us to praise is that of reorientation. So we're oriented in a good and safe world, then things fall apart in disorientation, and then reorientation is this third movement. This is the time that we have discovered that while the old foundations have fallen short, there is a Redeemer who is restoring, making all things new, and fulfilling the promise that the whole creation is being reconciled to the Father through the Son. Our praise in this place has a more declarative nature to it. It's speaking forth the promises of God to the people. Hear these words from Psalm 22. This is one of the Psalms that Jesus quoted while he was on the cross, as he was reorienting all of creation. The psalm begins, my God, why have you forsaken me? Deep disorientation. But it ends with these words of reorientation. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn that he has done it. This is declarative. This is speaking forth the God who is reorienting all of creation, but maybe more importantly to you this morning, reorienting you, your place in the cosmos, your heart, the son, the hearts of the fathers back to the sons, the hearts of the sons back to the fathers. There is a reordering of creation, a reordering of our lives that begins when we trust this way. So we have a lot of elements going on this morning, and it was very hard, but that's the end of my sermon. It wasn't originally the end of my sermon. As Catherine will know, that is a very difficult thing for me. I had another few pages. But I want to do something different this morning. I want to try something. And I wrote an email, it was in the newsletter, that we're going to try to offer our own worship, our own praise, kind of like a gathering psalm. A new song to the Lord, although you don't have to sing. So this is a collection of our praise offered out loud, 1 to 2 sentences each. So now if you didn't read that newsletter, you're like, what is happening? So I hope that enough of you did to get things going, but it doesn't have to be pre-prepared. It doesn't have to be something that you put a lot of thought or time in. This can just be a speaking of praise for who God is in your life personally and for what God has done personally. And my hope is that as we hear each other speak our 1 to 2 sentences of praise, that this will be an encouragement to the church, that God is still the God who is worthy of praise and worship. And for those who decide to speak, I pray that it will be an uplifting experience for you as well, as you give glory to God in the assembly of the righteous. I will admit that this does take some courage, and so I encourage you to be of good courage, to give this a try, to trust that this is a place that can handle you speaking in your words. It doesn't have to be refined. It doesn't have to sound like it does in the Psalms. Let it be in your own words as you would praise God. So I'll begin with an address, and then I'm going to leave it open. And what I would just encourage you to do, if you're able, just stand, speak your words of praise clearly, and then have a seat. If two people stand at the same time and speak, that's okay. God can do that. He can hear both. Don't be embarrassed. Praise the Lord. Let's sing the Lord to the Lord a new song this morning. God, would you draw near to the praises of your gathered people? For we know that you delight in our praise. Father, thank you that you are a God who can be trusted. Even when my son leaves the protection of his home. Praise you, God, that you are alive and active, that you are present, that you can turn a group of people into a living, breathing psalm, a gathering that has the full experience of life, the orientation, the disorientation, the reorientation, and we offer it all to you individually, and yet collectively as praise. Thank you. Thank you, church. I had to trust that there would be some things said, and Saturday, that was yesterday, I was kind of anxious. Is this going to happen? And my mind starts turning around, and I start thinking, how can we make it happen? How can we create the atmosphere where people will speak? And then I texted somebody. Bob and Terry Beauchart texted them and said, hey, how you doing? Checking in, as I do regularly. And the text comes back immediately. It says, call me. Or can I call you? I have good news. And I was like, wow. And so I had a phone call with Barb. And for those of you who don't know, we have been praying for Terry for healing. And he's had some difficult health problem he's dealing with. And all I'm kind of allowed to say right now is that there has been some very good news that just came this week. And so, yeah, you can... And so I just, you know, after that phone call, I'm just like, what? So I'm preaching on praise, and this happens. Not that everything's about me. It has nothing to do with me. It's just one of those cool things where it's like, okay, here we are. We're going to talk about praise. And this amazing praise report comes. And what does that do to me? It changes everything. Now I'm not nervous at all about this morning. I'm excited. I can't wait to get here and hear about the praise and teach about praise, because praise transforms us. Even if you're anxious or in a difficult time, you hear that word of praise and hope, bam, hope bursts forth and it reorients us and it changes us. And so I thank God for that timing on that. I thank God, obviously, for that work in Terry's life, which we will hear more about later. But they wanted to say thank you so much for upholding them in prayer for this entire journey. And they can't wait to share more details with you when that's appropriate. We're going to move straight from our voice praise to a time of communion, the celebration of the body of Christ enlivened by Christ through the Spirit. And as we celebrate communion together, as we pass the bread and cup to one another, as we eat and drink the elements, may we do so with hearts of praise. Whether our praise is joyous and bubbling, or more like a sacrifice today, let us praise the one who has done immeasurably more than we could ever ask or hope through Christ. And so I invite you to make your way to one of the three tables, spread out so we're kind of even. We'll participate in communion together. Before you go, though, Lois and Catherine are going to go back. I'll go over and set the table, and then I'll release you to the tables. From 1 Corinthians, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the elements of communion, these symbols that take us back to the story, the reason for our reoriented praise, that you sent your Son to live, to show us the way, to teach us how to be human again, and to show us all the way to the ultimate sacrifice of offering your life on our behalf. And so as we gather around this table as the church, I pray that we would remember these lessons, that we would remember the cost, that as the bread is broken, we would remember that it was you that were broken for us. As we drink, that we would remember that it was because you shed your blood, you withheld nothing, that we have new life and have everything. As we pass these elements around, fill our hearts with praise, and may we offer that freely to you. In Jesus' name. So I release you. Please find a table, and your table leaders will lead you through communion.